What?
Am I pushing the button?
Now?
Stop pushing the button.
Am I pushing the button?
Alright, now, Carol.
Oh, shit.
Start it now.
Good God, leave your button alone. Return to the podcast.
No one else is pushing the damage.
You're touching your button. This guy's putting a stick up his ass. It's a party. Come on. I'm at a Friday night party.
Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslower, Carol the Cat, that's me,
the Kitty Geeker,
and Tiffany the Technician.
Hello!
Oh, he really is
safe. Wow.
Oh, and he sounded normal. And Carol, did you even see Tiffles is all happy?
I know, I said, Henry told me he loved right, me.
Doing embarrassments in here. Of Guardians
of the Geekery. You know you wrote that, right?
No.
Episode 83, John Hartness, you look slightly moist from the sponges out in the garage that we gave you. Thanks for spending the night.
No, I'm just moist because of touching Carol's button.
Yeah, well.
Party time.
I like how when you touched her button, her shirt exploded with evil rabbits all over it.
Oh,
white sperm like rabbits. Yeah. Ooh, the rabbit.
There's a reason Anya was afraid of bunnies, yeah.
I'm giving Henry Cavill Mark Simpson here.
We can tie anything back to Buffy if we try hard enough.
Yes. It was so weird. What was I watching the other day? Where
everything?
We've
been watching a lot of fucking TV for con.
Between being on the CW to talk about Flash and
do your homework for that show too? Because I'm always 3 weeks behind when I'm supposed to go on Flash Chat, and I'm like, and I binge watch and show up, and I'm like full of Flash knowledge. And Jess is like, so you're caught up? I'm like, yeah, that was 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You're lucky I didn't just show up in your office at 8 o'clock this morning.
No, I had never watched Legends of Tomorrow, so I had to catch up on all of that. I was a season behind on Arrow, and then I was a season and a half behind on Flash, so I caught up on all of those.
Good God.
Then we found out that the CW was getting Supergirl back, and Jess mentioned that next season, instead of doing Flash Chat, they may do
W chat, or Hero Chat or something.
Yeah, Hero Chat. And so I was like, shit. So I went back and watched Supergirl. But Emma Caulfield was in one episode of one of those series as a cop. Yeah, and I can't remember what it was, but she was just very dressed down, like plain face, no makeup. And I was like, that's Emma Caulfield. But it took me a minute.
Yeah, I'm like half the season behind on Legends of Tomorrow, a season and a half behind on Arrow. I'm caught up on Flash, and I've seen 2 episodes of Supergirl.
Maybe it was Daredevil. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm a season and a half behind on Daredevil.
We are 4 episodes behind on Daredevil. So we have to watch Daredevil, and then I need to catch up on Orphan Black.
I've only seen 3 episodes of Jessica Jones.
I was going to watch Sherlock, but I'm not on the panel. So I'm like,
there you go.
So I was like,
congratulations. Oh, God. I'm not on any TV show panels.
No, you're not on any TV show panels.
Oh, good, because I'm terrible on TV show panels.
No, yeah. I'm on one TV show panel, which is Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I may show up for the Walking Dead panel, but that's probably not.
You know, and then, because Daredevil is what Daredevil is, I had to stop and take a break.
Well, that's me and Jessica Jones. I watch, like, one episode, and then I have to watch Ren and Stimpy for 3 days or something.
No, we watched, like, 2 episodes of Daredevil, and then I watched, like, 6 episodes of Frankie and Grace, and then I went back. And
Shows are heavy.
Breaking up with Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. They're both in New York, so
yeah.
I want them to meet. I think Daredevil and Kimmy Schmidt should meet.
Oh my God.
Wow. I'm sure there's slash fic for that somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Rule 32 says so.
There's probably more slash fic for Titus and Daredevil.
Yeah.
I think they're all the same role.
Okay. So speaking of which, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yeah, so this is kind of a filler episode.
I actually did not see this episode yet. I promise, watch it by Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's not really a whole lot of spoilers. This was kind of a placeholder episode.
Spoiler.
They brought some old people back.
Something to keep the door propped open.
We see gold hands, right?
We see what?
Cold hands.
Cold hands, yes.
Reappears.
Who is Uncle Benjen.
Yes.
From way back in season 1. And I gotta applaud the people.
Okay.
I gotta applaud the producers because they kept the same people. Benjen appeared on like the first episode of Game of Thrones, and now it's season 6 and he shows back up and it's the same actor.
It's a big check.
Yeah. But still.
I mean, seriously, these guys are like, a lot of these guys aren't getting a ton of work, otherwise. Yeah. I mean, because they're like a big middle-aged dude with a big beard.
True.
There's only so much call for that.
And then, that are English and not in Westerns.
But I'm sorry, anyway. I married one of those.
They brought back the Fries, who hosted the Red Wedding.
Right.
So they're joining.
Good host. Yeah.
Yeah, great host. Yeah. And then.
That's the old guy that was like married to the young girl.
Yeah,
that's right. The way to do it.
Penny working.
And he's still an asshole. He's a complete asshole.
It's a song.
He's always an asshole.
John singing it.
Yeah. I don't think that guy's ever. Well, he did. He played the first doctor in a movie once, and he was very nice in that one. But generally, he plays assholes.
I'm not going to lie. I saw once like a thing on cable where he was like this just sort of like very vulnerable old man, and I was like, Filch? What the fuck? it fucked with my mind.
It touched your mind button.
Other than that, you had a bit of Danny, who's probably the one story that I don't really care about.
I feel like everybody's starting to get to that point a little bit with her. I feel like everything goes her way. I mean, of course, she's dealt with adversity throughout the show, but she
married fucking
Khal Drogo. I'd fuck that guy. I mean, seriously. Jason Momoa?
That's Aquaman.
I know, right? He's going to make Aquaman not be stupid.
He can talk to the animals with sonar. Just imagine what that can do.
But yeah. Danny's storyline and what's so funny is she's got this huge Dothraki horde, which is a bunch of nomads with horses and everything, and she flies in with her dragon, and she gives this rousing kind of Henry V speech where, we're going to go across the sea and we're going to take back my throne. And I'm like, do any of these people own a coat? Because it's winter over there and half of them aren't going to make the sea voyage because they've never been on a fucking ship.
And horses don't do sea travel very
well. And you're going to be feeding those horses to her damn dragons, because what else are they going to eat?
Well, the dragon will just fly on ahead. I mean, they could probably make the trip faster if she would take two Dothraki and fly over, have a dragon just fly them over the ocean.
Yeah, you wait here, let me go back.
I don't think the
dragon can be controlled quite like that.
But she's barely controlling him as it is. But it was just kind of, it just seemed a little silly. But her storyline has always been the one that it just never really...
At some
really
point, if I'm a dude on a horse, I'd be like, bitch, you own a dragon. You do the fighting.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't know what this Dothraki horde is supposed to do.
Just add to the masses, I guess. But yeah. I just kind of, like, I'm kind of at the point, like, I mean, like the actress, like the role, I mean, really, I have nothing bad to say. I'm, like, indifferent to her.
Yeah.
I guess I would say. I don't root against her, but, like, really, I find more interesting Tyrion and Jon.
Yeah.
And Sansa and them trying to take back Winterfell. And that's
I'm
what
more
I find
interested in what's
Theon
going on
and
in
his
Westeros.
Sister and how they've escaped from the Iron Islands.
Yeah.
And I'm just, what they're going to be up to.
I'm more interested in what's going on in Westeros. Braavos can just,
Well.
Except for Varys and Tyrion.
I was saying King's Landing. I'm getting a little, whatever about
With the
Cersei
High Sparrow.
And all the High Sparrow.
They did have the High Sparrow where the big reveal this week was that Queen Margaery has become one of the faithful. And she's lying through her ass to save her brother. But, so there is now basically a theocracy in King's Landing. But that's going to end badly. Very quickly. So it was kind of a placeholder episode. There wasn't a whole lot that went on. I think they were just trying to give you a break from killing Hodor last week. Assholes.
Speaking of Hodor.
Yeah, the newest thing is the IKEA doorstop. The Hodor.
That's so good.
Too soon.
Too soon. Nah. And then they've got pictures of, they're putting stickers of his face in the elevators with the door.
So
there's lots of little Hodor memes going around holding the door.
Is there really a Funko Pop of Hodor?
There is, yeah. There's a Hodor Funko.
Okay. I saw that, a picture of him up against the door. And yeah. It's too soon.
There is a Hodor Funko Pop.
Hodor has a Funko Pop, but President Bartlett from the West Wing does not.
Get
your shit together, world!
And there's no Shakespearean character Funko Pops. I want that.
No one gives a fuck what you want. You got a lot of stuff
but
that you
get.
Yeah,
Shakespearean
can characters.
Can I get
some from the
like
West Wing?
Because you make them whatever you want.
Yeah, you can't license that shit, though. I mean, I'm kind of with them on that, because my Hamlet doesn't look like fucking Ethan Hawke.
No, of course not. It looks like Lawrence of Arabia.
Does anybody lump that movie into the canon of Shakespeare?
It's better than the Mel Gibson one. It's better than Hamlet for Dummies. Jesus. And there are pieces of it that are actually really good. Caddyshack. I'm blanking on his name.
Bill Murray?
Bill Murray's actually really good as Polonius in the Ethan Hawke version. He's kind of amazing.
Wouldn't peg him as a Polonius, but...
Julia Stiles is in that as well.
We don't talk about her.
Oh, okay.
She's like
she's Ophelia, right?
We don't talk about her.
Okay.
I mean, we let her do Shakespeare in 10 Things I Hate About You. And that's as close
as... How good was that movie, by the way? I'm going to add that to the top.
Yeah, that movie was great. And that's the level of Shakespeare that Julia Stiles is
allowed to do. I can't talk about that movie anymore, though, because Heath Ledger makes me sad.
The movie that makes me think of Heath Ledger is The King's... The Knight's Tale. That's the best one.
It's quite
all right. Because you've got
the
Robert Baratheon in there.
That's right. You got Robert Baratheon. You've got Alan Tudyk. You've got Wash. You've got Jarvis.
Yes.
You've got like all the great dead genre fiction here.
Everybody's good. You got the Nazi from The Man in the High Castle as the dick. He always is the dick.
Who does he play? Who's that?
He's Rufus Sewell.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
he's always a dick.
He's always a dick. So.
Okay, so that was Game of Thrones this week.
That was Game of Thrones and
Shakespeare.
Speaking of dancing dicks.
Dancing dicks.
I wanted to pause for just a moment.
Absolutely.
And I would like to have a fireside chat with our dear readers and dear listeners. I want to talk to you today about spoilers. As you know, here on Guardians of the Geekery, sometimes I say spoiler after the fact, but if you're listening to this podcast, you know there's a good chance we're talking about the show. And so therefore, I feel that spoilers are something that you need to be aware of. However, Facebook and spoilers.
It's out of control.
There does need to be a slight moratorium before you start posting stuff. And you know, it may make you feel better that you can spoil Christmas for everybody else, but for the rest of us, we'd appreciate if you don't post who Dancing with the Stars was that won, and if you don't post 3 minutes after the flashes ended,
the finale, the season finale,
spoiling it for other people.
A friend of mine posted a fucking picture that gave it away and had text, and he writes comic books for Dark Horse, and I'm like,
you should punch him in the dick.
I was like, what the fuck were you thinking? And I'm like, he's got a ton of friends on the West Coast.
It hadn't even aired.
And I'm like, and I hadn't seen it, you know, because I was going to watch, I was doing some stuff, and I was like, oh, I'll just watch it the next day. And it's like, really? I'm insane.
You need a week.
Yeah.
Now,
at least
48
hours.
On the other side, some of it's a little out of hand. Like, people talking about, spoiler alert for the new Star Wars movie. I'm like, you mean Rogue One? That's not out yet. No, I was like, okay, well, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You don't get spoiler warnings for Civil War anymore.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
By the way, it kicked ass. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. No, but seriously, like, if it's some of us who have cut the cable or whatever, just give us a day, because Hulu adds it the next day. Give us at least that before you start talking about it.
It's
almost
have to work and stuff.
Or, you know, you can post stuff like, wow, I didn't agree with that.
Right.
Or, wow, that was a surprise.
Or put spoiler, and then you have to click on it to get in there.
Yeah.
I'm actually okay with that too.
I agree with that. But
I think there is a notion of, haha, look what I did to you.
The internet brings out the dick in everybody.
It does. We'll get to that when we get to
Dancing with the Stars. I watched the finale. It was hard because I actually knew who won before I went in, and so therefore I was much more
meh about it.
Who won?
Couldn't get into it as much.
And I was like, so people did really well, and I was like, I couldn't be excited for them because I knew it wasn't good enough, you know, because they weren't going to be the ones to win. Now, who won? Well, you know, we've talked all season about the guy that was from America's Next Top Model, who's a deaf individual who came on the show. He's deaf and he's dancing. Let's just talk about that. He's done some amazing dances. Even Matt was impressed by them, and he doesn't normally sit down and watch the whole thing with me.
It's beautiful shit, and one of them, he put a blindfold on. Because he doesn't actually even feel, he can't even feel the beats really that much.
Wow.
It's all memorization. And it's like a 3-minute thing. And it's like all he does is by his partner's, what was it, PETA?
PETA, Murgatroyd. We'll so she had to learn.
She's amazing. Though.
She'll just touch him like that. And he knows to do that.
And she,
do that.
She had to promise that she would only touch him on the one knee. So she has to make sure she's only touching him at that point because he's counting in his head.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, he did an episode. He did one of his dances. They stopped the music for a whole 3/8 of a beat or whatever so that the other dancers who were used to dancing to music had to keep up with him in pace and then hope, kind of like singing a cappella and hoping when the music come back in, you're on beat. So, you know, they did some amazing things. They lit a piano on fire as part of it and did this whole thing. And he did a really great job. But it was a little spoiled for me. You know, Paige VanZant, who was the UFC fighter, I had talked about last week the fact that it was revealed that her mom actually owned a dance studio. So I kind of felt like that was a little bit of a ripoff.
Yeah.
So I was glad that she didn't win. Ginger Z, she suffered a major pelvic injury. I know, there's no nice way to say that, but basically
she broke her ass.
She did. She was dancing a dance where her hips were supposed to be forward, and suddenly they flipped around backwards.
Oh.
So she was crying, but they all did a good job. I'm glad that Niall won, but nevertheless. And so let's go on to the next spoiler-centric thing. Of course, now So You Think You Can Dance is on, but again, it was on last night or tonight, and it's the whole thing about the kids dancing. So we will see. I'm really not into the stage mom thing. If a kid in their 20s wants to dance, I'm all about that. Kid in their 10s, I worry that the parents are putting too much pressure on those kids. And they're forcing them to do stuff that their bodies are not ready to do yet. So, anyway, moving on. What are we moving on to? The Flash finale.
Oh, you haven't seen it, have you, John?
Yeah, no, I've seen it. So good.
Yeah,
so good.
So, are you familiar with the comic book that basically
sets it up? No, I'm not. So,
it totally sets it up, and that's the whole freaking thing about Flashpoint. So, I'm really curious to see what they can do with it, but in the comics, it reset the whole DC universe, and the unfortunate thing that came out of that was the New 52, which I was not a fan of, that they're now just dumped last week. But
so is this the one where Flash goes back in time and saves his mom?
Yeah.
Because I saw the animated.
Yeah.
There's an animated.
Yeah, they made an animated thing.
Movie.
Of the 5-issue miniseries that had all the spinoff things too, but
yeah, so it's 5 really issues cool. of the Flash, but it's actually part of a 63-issue series.
Yeah. You're on Facebook. Look at that.
So it was a 5-episode series, but basically he realizes by resetting it, he never becomes the Flash.
Right. That's the logical outcome of it, and that's why you don't travel in time. You fuck shit up.
Oh yeah.
Which
he knows. Really chaps my ass. I mean, I understand he had the extra grief right there to mess with his mind, but I was like, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the whole extra grief thing and all that. I think that it didn't work for me. I didn't feel Henry's death was big enough for him. Okay. I know it's his father's. Father's death on top of a life, on top of all this guilt about his mother's death, but like I had talked about on the Flash chat one time, there's so many fathers in that show.
Yeah.
And I feel like Joe is his real father.
Yeah.
I agree with that, yeah.
So I feel like killing Henry wouldn't push him to that. I feel like killing Joe would, because he did know. If we hadn't already gone through all of this timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly crap before, then yes, I would buy it. But it just seemed to... I didn't think the character was motivated that well to go that far. And I really also... I just felt like that was a little bit of a letdown for me in the writing. When so much of the rest of the writing this season was
awesome.
So good. Yeah. There are so many things that they breadcrumbed and came back to, and so many things that they touched on and allowed to develop organically. And then, yeah, I felt like it was, it felt tacked on, I guess.
My only thing is, the Flashpoint was is such a huge thing that I feel like I already know what's going to happen at the end of season three, that he's going to go back and let his mom get killed. That he's,
well, yeah.
He's, someone's going to tell him. And well, the actor who plays Wells is already confirmed, and he's been added as a...
Tom Cavanaugh.
Yeah, he's a season regular for next season. Which yeah, he was always kind of... I mean, he was always a cast member, but they were like already had, no, you're locked in for season three. So yeah. I really think... I mean, somehow he's going to get back to that moment, and he's going to let his mom die like he did a couple other times.
Yeah. Carlos Valdez talked about it, too. And there'll be like a fifth
Flash in the room or something.
Yeah. But.
Now, I haven't watched the...
Legends of Tomorrow?
No, the Chronicles of Cisco.
Oh, I haven't watched that either.
It's a web series. It's like it's like a web spinoff series starring Carlos Valdez. And it's like, I think it's like little vignettes or something. I gotta go look it up. But anything.
Just add that to my list. This week.
those are short, at least, right? So
it's, yeah, I think they're like little 10-15 minute things. But anything with Cisco on it, I'm down for.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah, he's 100% my favorite character on the show.
He just needs to brush his hair more.
They need to put him in Vibes costume with a little kerchief and everything. That would be.
No.
Does he ever sing the thong song?
No,
but he and Joe and who was
there
it?
Was
he, Joe and Thawne sang the Firefly theme song after Joss helped support
and Grant. Yeah.
Yes.
Because Grant was on Glee.
Yes.
And Joe was on in Rent.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I was noticing with Supergirl, not to totally switch things, but talking about music, is here we've got Supergirl. And the lead character, Melissa Benoist, or Moist, or whatever we call her, she was from Glee, right?
Was she?
Yeah.
She must have been from like the last season or so.
Yeah.
And Jeremy, yes, yeah, she was. Okay. She was an attempt to replace the Michelle Lee type of character. Because
that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, she was...
Yeah.
Yeah. New lead singer, but shy. So, there you go. So, she was in the last couple seasons of Glee. And then Jeremy Jackson, who plays Wynn... he was in the series Smash.
Oh, okay.
So you've got two very musically based people in this show. How could they not do a musical number at some point?
Well, I mean...
And you've got Jenna Tatum Channing, whatever. Dewan Channing. She dances. She's a dancer in another life. I mean, you have the potential there. Just saying.
They might. It's only season one and, you know, done, so...
I'm just saying, I want to see this happen, and then you get Joe in there, and he gets... I mean, especially now that it's coming to the CW.
Yeah.
There are a lot of musical people, either dancers or singers, in these shows.
Or both.
So...
I was just really so happy to see Jesse Martin do the musical bit when they went to Earth 2.
Yeah.
That was so good.
That was awesome. Yeah, I really like Jesse Martin and everything that he's done. So, but yeah, so I think that there is definitely a setup for Flashpoint, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had the Arrow finale. And
dun, dun, dun.
Back to the original three, which is now only two.
Oh, who's dead now?
No, they all kind of...
There's that big death.
There's a big death. But everybody's kind of gone their separate ways.
Oh, okay.
Diggle feels like he needs to be there for his family, and he doesn't know that he wants to live that life. Thea, she's got too much of the bloodlust in her, so she went off. Of course, Canary's no longer with us. Ra's al Ghul is off on his thing, and then...
Merlin
is off on his thing, and then Nissa's kind of off on her thing. So we're basically down to Stephen Amell, who's interim mayor of Star City. And then,
because it always works so well to give the guy in tights the mayor's gig.
Right. And then Felicity Smoke has come back temporarily as the tech. Overwatch, right? That's her name, Overwatch.
Yeah. I think
at least they didn't call her Oracle.
I know.
They made a joke about that on the show. I mean, that's one of the things. As dark as Arrow is, it is self-aware, which was one of the things I loved about Buffy and Angel back in the day.
Yeah. Well, it's what I love about Sisko. He's completely referential.
Well, even in, like, Supergirl, they're like, who comes up with these names? So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I like that show. I like Supergirl. I mean, I've only seen a couple of, like, three
It grew on me. I didn't like the first episode, but then it really just started...
But I heard that it was better, and then the second episode was significantly better, and then the third and fourth, I guess I watched four episodes. It's on the list of things I want to catch up on.
Yeah.
And they're adding some cool Superman characters in there.
Okay.
They're letting her have those. So.
Yeah, and Superman is part of the show, even though you never see
Henry Cavill.
You never see his face. But he instant messages his cousin and says, and there's a couple times where he actually appears.
Yeah.
But it's because she's knocked out, so she just sees
selfie.
The
like
silhouette.
A halo or yeah.
That's all I can afford is a text
stop
message.
The train. Click.
And you know it's
Tom Welling selfies. Now that it's coming to CW, can we get Tom Welling on the show?
Maybe.
Just as like a random male boy for the for Catco or whatever. Like he does Cat Grant's pedicures or something.
Yeah. Too much. All right. So speaking of something that's a little too much, Star Trek has come out with a line of bathing suits. They've also come out with a Star Trek style camper.
Okay.
So, you know, it is the summertime if you're looking for some fun stuff to do.
I saw those on Facebook. They're not bad.
They're not. They're not bad.
They're not terribly slutterific. They're modest.
They're modest, and they actually look workable.
Yeah, they're based on the Next Generation uniform, not the original series uniform, so wearing red doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get eaten by a shark.
Yes, so that's always a good thing.
But there is a new shark movie coming out, so don't wear red.
I never go. Yeah, I never go in the ocean anyway. So
totally go where no Carol will go again. So, there's some rumors of some reshoots for Rogue One.
Yeah,
Disney hated it.
Disney hated
it. I hadn't heard this.
Yeah, this just came out today.
I'm wondering why they hated it, because this doesn't seem like a standard Star Wars film. It's not like happy and look.
Actually, Disney was surprised. I mean, they knew Force Awakens was going to be insane. They didn't know it would be that huge. They thought it would be just a little, you know, a little bit less than that. Not much. But anyway, so they're banking everything in Rogue One, and they're like, you know what? This is like an experiment for us. This is the art house of the Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be, for Disney, they're going to be releasing. And the director didn't want to have anything to do with the studio at all while he was doing it.
That works so well.
Yeah, but he agreed to reshoots. He said, I'll do my movie, and then you can put your little stuff in there. And, you know, I'm sure they have all the director cut stuff in the contract, right?
In other words, they needed to add toys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the big thing that they're saying they're going to add is more Darth Vader. There's not enough force choke to get everybody excited and stuff like that. Because Darth Vader is in this fucker, but they need... Disney was like, I want a lot more.
I'm sure they'll have him doing the voice. I can't imagine anyone else doing Darth Vader's voice.
Well,
yeah, you know they've got James Earl.
Hurry up!
I know. I was going
to record a bunch of shit.
I was going to say they've got James Earl Jones locked in a room somewhere, and they're just coming in with random lines for him to say.
Oh, yeah.
Just say this word, okay? Say we want you to read the dictionary, because then we're just going to assemble the words later.
Yeah, I saw him do Fences in New York City to play, and. I was like fifth row. My dad got his tickets, and I was like, "What is this shit I'm watching?" And it was like, "Oh my god, this is fucking!" It was the most incredible thing. I mean, his voice was like, it was like being pushed by a rock concert. Like his voice hit you, and it was like, "Oh my god, I was spellbound, dude."
I saw him do a speech at Spoleto at Spirit Square. He was one of their featured speakers, and he talked about his career and. The fact that he started acting to get over his horrible stutter.
Yeah,
crazy. James Earl
Jones. I mean,
right.
You think about it. James Earl Jones had a horrible stutter. You had Maya Angelou, who didn't even start talking until she was like in her six or seven or something like that. And then she was talking complete sentence. She's like, I just don't have anything I wanted to say, you know? I mean, some of the stuff is just crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, to
James
hear him
Earl Jones
talk
could
about,
whisper in one ear, Sean Connery can whisper in the other ear, and then you can do whatever you want.
That works. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, it's fine. Leaves a whole lot of you left. Yeah. Don't take it. They'll pay attention to your ears. I got the rest of you.
Something about those deep voices is just over. Okay. So, speaking of love and friendship, talk about that, please, because I have nothing to do with that, and I can
compose
myself.
Carol, did you see that?
I have not seen this, no.
So, this is a movie based on Jane Austen's short story, Lady Susan.
Okay.
And it stars Kate Beckinsale as, like, a widow, you know, back in the Regency era.
So, not a vampire.
No. There's no vampires.
Although that came out today, Pride, Prejudice, and Zombie is out on Blu-ray today. Bye.
Don't bother.
Go on.
Okay. So, basically, she plays like a flirt. She's very clever. And if you've seen the trailer, you get a very big gist of what this movie is. But basically, it's Kate Beckinsale trying to manipulate a young guy into falling in love with her.
She's an Austen heroine.
Yeah. But she has her sights set on a married man, and
she's an Austen heroine.
Yeah. And it's a there's a lot of really fun characters in this movie, like a lot of humor. My issue with the movie, I didn't love it, and it is with Kate Beckinsale, and Kate Beckinsale did an amazing job, but the character she plays in this, and it's not her fault, but the character she plays is like, you know how there's, like, people who are clever and witty, and that's great, but when they're 100% of the time clever and witty, and there's no break in the whole movie where you're, like, it's just zinger after zinger after zinger after zinger, and it's kind of like,
that's exhausting.
Okay, I'm exhausted from paying attention to this movie kind of thing, that, like, I just was ready for it to end. Like, it had such great supporting characters, like, people I'd never seen before that I'm like, oh, they were so funny and everything. It was really just... Too much of a good thing ended up being a somewhat not great thing. So that's what I have to say for it.
And that's love and friendship.
Yes.
So on a scale of A to F, you'd give it a...
I'm going to give it a B minus. Yeah, a B, B minus. Mm-hmm. It gets fun, but, you know, watch it at home.
Okay, so next we have Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Which I haven't seen. Sorry.
Okay.
We have to cross that one off.
I will say this. I saw a image, a little mini video of one of the products they're selling for Alice Through the Looking Glass. And it's an amazing makeup kit.
Oh, yeah. This is an Ulta exclusive.
Yeah.
I was going to pick it up, not because it has Alice Through the Looking Glass on it, but because I actually liked... I did pick up a couple of the lipsticks because I love the colors, but I looked at the palette and I was like, I'd only use half of these, and for $60 I can't
justify. Was my thing. But you open it and it has like a lifelike, like, butterfly inside.
Yeah, a little butterfly and a little mirror for you. It's very pretty.
I just think...
Do you want to go halvesies, John?
Yeah, I think you two would look lovely.
Okay. I mean, we'll see how the color goes. Is it like springs or autumns?
It's like a mixture of both, which is my problem.
That'd be good, because I think you're more spring.
I'm very autumn, and I was like, okay, I'd only use half of these colors, and the other half would just sit there.
Yeah, I just think it's cool that now we're seeing more of these movie-based, you know, Torrid and Hot Topic started it, and, well, others did too, but it's like you get the Star Wars makeups, you get the Star Trek makeups, you get the you get the costumes.
I'm still waiting for Bobby the House Elf makeup.
Keep waiting. Don't hold your breath on that one.
So.
Might be an Aldi exclusive for that one.
Instead of Ulta,
not Aldi.
It's on that aisle next to the bananas. It's like, oh yeah, that's good stuff.
All right. Big so loss. Gotham. Yeah. Who wanted to talk about Gotham?
I did. Okay. I watched the season finale. They renewed it, so somebody else is watching besides me.
Wow.
Yeah. So that should get good.
It kind of just kept on an even B. I watched for the villains.
So it'll last forever. It'll never.
I watch this show for the villains. I don't watch it for the heroes because the heroes are dull as dishwater. I know he was in the OC or whatever, the Gilmore Girls or whatever. the guy who plays
Jim
Gordon.
He was Ryan on the OC.
Okay.
Ben McKenzie.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
No, I never watched
Commissioner Gordon.
I watched a lot of Gilmore Girls, but never OC.
He's boring.
OC's awesome.
They had the Hugo Strange storyline, and I really did like B.D. Wong as Hugo Strange. He That was
Baby Wong is always good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the very end of the season, they basically reanimated all of the old villains that they had killed for the past two seasons.
Bullshit.
No, that's great.
So,
because now they're zombies. What are you going to do with them now, bitch?
So they got Fish Mooney's back, and the person that you're supposed to think is going to become the Joker is back, and Mr. Freeze is back, and Fry is, as they call him on the show, is back. And so it was interesting. It's, like I said, it's not a show I have to watch immediately after it airs. It's something I catch up on.
As you can.
As I can. That was kind of me with terrific.
Agent Carter. I finally finished watching it.
And now they're
I'd gotten so far behind, and so I was just like...
Oh. Yeah, I'm still working through season two of that one, and they're not bringing it back, so...
Right.
Although they're trying really hard to get it back on Netflix.
Yeah. Well, because Marvel's announced now that they're only going to do on Netflix, so... Well...
Excuse me. It's a Disney thing.
Disney.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Disney thing.
They're not going to be on Amazon Prime or Hulu. It'll only ever be released on Netflix. It might not originate there, but it won't be released there.
Speaking of a Marvel thing that's not on Disney, X-Men Apocalypse, I did see that.
I saw it too. And better or worse than Civil War?
Oh, God, worse.
Better.
Really?
It's worse. No. It's
have not heard anyone say better.
I liked it, but to be fair, I was saying this to Matt and Joey over the weekend.
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that exactly was like my quote. To Davey when he was here was, that motherfucker is so hot, he trumps whatever storyline is happening on any movie. Okay? Because he's it.
I will say that.
We are talking about Michael Fassbender, in case you couldn't hear Carol whispering.
The little bromance.
Is Googling Michael Fassbender.
The bromance between Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy is very nice. I have to say, it wasn't the actors that I had the problem with in this movie. Because I like all of these actors in these characters. They introduced Jean Grey. They introduced Cyclops. They introduced Nightcrawler.
I loved him.
I did love Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
My problem was the villains. Apocalypse himself is kind of there.
I would have loved to have seen him.
I know. You don't. If they could have just left him Oscar Isaac for a little bit longer. Yeah.
You know, I have this problem with almost any of the movies and TV shows. When they get to the Apocalypse or the Galactus or the Thanos, what are you really going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, Galactus eats planets. And in a comic book, it's easier to suspend my disbelief a little bit when it's in a comic book and I'm like, okay, fine. Some hippie on a surfboard and a stretchy dude can somehow outsmart a guy who just says, nah, fuck you, I'll just eat Mars.
And that's my problem with this, is like Apocalypse is, and I mean, he's supposed to surround himself with the four horsemen, who are supposed to be the four most powerful mutants. He's got two of them, Magneto and Storm, who are incredibly powerful mutants.
Okay.
But then he's got Angel and Psylocke, and I'm like,
well, but he enhances their powers.
But what did he do? Well, I mean, he gave Angel metal wings.
He gave Angel or whatever.
Archangel.
Whatever.
Yeah. Metal wings,
and he could
shoot little things out.
He could shoot shit out of it.
Yay. Now he's,
that was,
you know,
a lot cooler in the comics, right? Basically. Archangel was like, oh my god, this is the most badass thing.
And that was a whole
ever.
Different thing in the comics, because the Four Horsemen didn't start off as the most powerful mutants. They started off as broken mutants that became powerful, because it started off as Caliban, whose only power was detecting mutants.
He's there, and that was my thing, because he goes and sees Caliban. And then he takes Psylocke, and I'm like, so you're ditching the dude who can actually find mutants for you, and you're going off with Miss Hot Pants here, who has a flaming sword. No offense to Olivia Wilde. She looks really great in the suit.
That's good to hear.
That being said, her power is this buzzy sword.
And one of her hands becomes
like a sword.
Lightsaber-esque sword.
And I'm like, you stand 20 feet away from her, and... she's not gonna do much to you. Which at the very end battle, I was like, yeah, she has to.
3 feet from her, she wouldn't do much to me.
I was like, the end battle. Yeah, she has to fight Beast because Beast doesn't have a projectile. She fights Cyclops. He's gonna shoot her ass from across the damn way. So it's like they're pairing these things up. Archangel doesn't fight Cyclops because Cyclops would just shoot him out of the sky. He's got to fight Nightcrawler because this is kind of an even playing field.
They might should have picked better.
Yeah.
Better horses. Who were the other two in the comics? It was Caliban, Archangel.
In the most recent X-Men, they actually made freaking Cyclops. They
no, I mean the his good powers, one, back at the Fall of the Mutants. Back when it was good.
Back in the 90s. They put them in the bags and stuff.
And I have to say, Archangel and Psylocke, I think they had 5 lines between them. You do not get to know these characters.
They're not that interesting. Yeah, you kind of are a little like, okay, Storm, you're like, okay.
Storm, you get to know a little bit. Plus you know Storm.
She's going
to
become part of the X-Men kind of a thing. And
at least
and then obviously Magneto you have a vested interest in. Without giving too much away, because they haven't seen it yet, like, the resolution of Magneto's storyline, I felt was a little quick.
And I thought it was incredibly predictable.
Sure.
The second he was introduced, I was like, yeah, that's going to happen.
But he looked... I'm just going to give you the preview here, Joey.
Okay,
He works in, like, some machinery factory or something, and he's wearing, like... a button-up, like, Magneto.
Why is he working in
a machine? Oh, I saw the trailer for that.
And he looks hot as fuck.
Yes, and the guys were talking about him, and he's like, let me show you what happens when you talk about me.
Yeah.
They showed that in the trailer. Yeah,
so I thought he had a good story. Maybe you don't care.
It's nothing against Michael Fassbender or the character. It's just that it was so, to me, it was very ba-doom, 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 ba-doom. There you go.
I agree.
Formulaic.
Yeah. And plus, I have to say,
for those as of much you like, can't tell what the ba-dooms are.
Yeah, so you can't see my hand going ba-doom, ba-doom. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of talk at the end of Man of Steel about destruction and how many people have died in Metropolis with, you know, Zod and Superman just killing buildings. Here, Apocalypse levels Cairo. Just fucking levels Cairo.
Well, and there's a lot of the world, actually.
Yeah, and there's no talk about how many people died. It's like, okay, you just offed millions of humans and...
But they were able to rebuild the school.
Well, yeah, because, you know... And they didn't even have to hire an architect or
Magneto could just...
someone to wield a hammer. Just Jean Grey and Magneto.
And again, for those of you playing at home, Tiffany is moving things with her hand with her mind. So...
Yeah, to me it was like this was so PG.
It was like unlike what Tiffany's doing with her hands right now.
We can't touch her butt. they couldn't actually address the fact that Apocalypse had just killed millions of people because then it would suddenly become more.
I guess I give the artistic license to think maybe that'll be addressed in the next film or whatever. But I thought the thing is like I get that people love Civil War type of thing, but like I found and I understood the levity of Civil War, how these friends are turning against each other, although they didn't really try to hurt each other that much. But
damn it all!
But
Captain America was bleeding. Like, it takes a lot to make Captain America.
Sure, no, but Black Widow and Hawkeye
we're still friends, right?
Yeah,
yeah. It's friend. Kind of yeah, and then even at the end of Civil War, you know, like Iron Man and Captain like. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that happened.
Well, but Iron Man's friend is now paralyzed.
Yeah.
Spoiler. I mean, sorry.
It's been out for like a month. And, you know, Captain America's friend is now frozen.
Yeah. With no arm.
With no arm.
Well, who cares?
I mean,
but
he's frozen
he used to be on Gossip Girl, by the way.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on.
Apocalypse was really good. I think it's my favorite franchise. I really do of all the comics, and even above Avengers.
Oh, X-Men as a whole. Like,
yeah, I really like X-Men. Yeah. I thought it was a good movie, and I thought there was a lot of fun and humor in this movie. And the guy who runs fast, what's his name?
Quicksilver.
Oh, Quicksilver, of course, steals the show again.
He is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, really great. And it's so, and they had nice little, they had nice little, like, 80s, ref, you know, people are dressed like 80s, and you see stuff like that.
I'm so sorry, Tiffany, for those of you listening at home, we have a hydroponic plant. Machine behind.
Oh, is that what's happening behind
John? Me? And suddenly there was a light encircling him behind.
John has a halo for the first time in many years.
There's a, they're growing herbs.
All right, one question about this apocalypse stuff. Does he talk like in the 90s cartoon, the X-Men cartoon?
How the hell would I know?
No, he doesn't.
Damn! I'll pay money to see Oscar.
He's very... He says
I'm pretty, apocalypse!
No, he does not talk like that. No.
Every time he was on that
screen,
just, oh my god. Yeah. I paid money to see that. I'm going to redub that fucking thing when it comes out. I'm going to redub it every line.
Anyway, yeah, right, he talks cool. very mellow.
Apocalypse, really? Okay.
So, all right. So we've already touched Captain America.
Absolutely.
Can we discuss how he's now a Hydra douche?
Hydra douche.
Can we wait till the storyline actually plays itself out before we...
No, this is on the internet. We have to immediately overreact to everything.
That's right. There's
before
no way
we
they
threaten
can...
to kill the writers.
Can we just not fucking do that? Is it okay if we just don't threaten creators of content with violence and death?
No shit.
Because you don't like something they've done? I mean, look, I was as outraged as anybody about Captain America saying Hail Hydra. I've been Team Cap since I was a little kid. Cap versus Baron Blood was the first comic book I remember buying for 60 cents in the drugstore in like 1981 or some shit. And I was outraged. And I was very clear in my voicing my outrage and the fact that I don't buy single issue comic books anymore, so it didn't really, so I couldn't even boycott. But never would I send hate mail to a creator of a comic threatening his life. And I read the nastiest threat that came into that guy.
Is this the one from the
guy who claims to be an ex service member who says, I will hunt you down and I will kill you
because
in the most
you've
painful
destroyed
way
my morals
that I can think of. And you should... This guy needs to go to jail for this.
Yes.
This is not... It's not joking. It's not acceptable. There is no world in which saying, I'm going to kill you is acceptable.
That's called a death threat.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. And sending it over the internet is transmission by wire, which is a federal offense. And... Federal prosecutors have roughly a 95% conviction rate.
And it's not just this writer. They've gone back to the writer who hasn't worked on Captain America in 5 years, and they're threatening his life. And it's like, dude, I'm not even writing for this comic book anymore. You started this journey.
I mean, creators have been shutting down Facebook profiles. And, and, you know, as somebody who interacts with fandom, and I love my fans, and I don't have enough to get the creepy fringy ones yet. One, say that shit to me and I'll come find your ass. I'm 6'1", I weigh 320 pounds, and I got a pickup truck and a shotgun. Fuck you, talk shit. But when you talk like this about people who have children and people who are not as capable of defending themselves, it's not okay. There's no world in which that's okay, and it needs to stop.
Yeah. I mean, and it's gone so far as, like, James Gunn, who directed Guardians of the Galaxy, went online.
You were totally going to say Guardians of the Galaxy.
I did. He went online, and he didn't even defend it. He actually said he didn't necessarily like that, but he said, I'm willing to wait and see what happens with the story.
Yeah.
Because this is the last panel of a comic book.
Right.
And people were threatening him. It's like, I hope your cat gets thrown in a wood chipper. Because he posts pictures of his cat every Saturday.
How dare somebody threaten a kitten?
I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, it's not even...
Kids, whatever, feel proud. But don't you fucking talk about that guy's cat.
I know. But it's just... I think the internet has just allowed people... And I don't know what it is about people that they tend to think, no one will know that I'm typing this. Mm. That's not true.
We read this shit.
Yeah, not only that, is you can put a different name on your Facebook page, but Facebook knows who the fuck you are.
Yeah, they know your ISP. They know your physical address, you moron.
Yeah, so, but there's this... There's this thing that people get online and they think, I can just say the most disgusting thing and no one will say anything to me. And that seems to be the go-to at this point. And we've seen it with rabid puppies. We've seen it with Gamergate. We've seen it just... And it just escalates.
Chuck Tingle is my literary hero, by yeah. the way.
And I love that he came out with... Slammed in the butt with my Hugo nomination not 24 hours after his Hugo nomination.
I love the fact that he bought the... URL thesadpuppies.com or therabidpuppies.com.
But yeah, it's just, it seems the internet brings out the worst in people. And this has just been, it's been insane. Really, I get that, you know, Captain America is your hero. I get that you lead a moral life because Captain America led a moral life. But this is a plot point in a comic book yeah. where people die and come back to life.
And another issue one.
Right.
So the big thing with comic books, for those of you who don't know, issue two sells about half the fuck of the first huge issue. And retailers, later that'll be the issue that's actually worth something, but they're trying to get that issue two at least to be up there.
Right.
And you're going to. And so it'll be that whole arc, so it'll be at least six issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it could be a year. I mean, they've done some wacky shit before. They've killed Captain America. Oh my God. Guess what? Captain America's back,
yeah,
right?
By the way, Civil War falls apart for me in the fact that Captain America doesn't die in the movie.
Yeah, it's just like, so, I mean, these characters are not gonna,
And this isn't even the first time he's actually switched sides. There was a plot point way back when, you know, the first writers were writing Captain America where he, you know, did the Nazi salute. It wasn't,
right.
He was brainwashed.
He's been fired before. I mean, the president.
That was
a
good arc.
Yeah. Man Without a Country.
Yeah.
He's been kicked out of the United States.
He's been a werewolf.
Yeah. He's,
that was not a good
Was he
arc.
Ever a go-go dancer?
As far as I know, no.
No, but I think he may have hung out with Dazzler.
It was very much roller buggy. So it was just ridiculous. And reading some of this stuff online, it just made me weep for humanity.
It's the trolls, and they've
and unfortunately the trolls have the biggest voice, and that's, you know, they're getting the most press, and yeah, I'm giving it to them right here, but it, you know, it's just and as a geek, and I've been a geek forever, I hate when that part of the geekdom and the nerddom comes out, and and it just makes us all look bad.
Well, it's like a couple of years ago, Tony Harrison is fake geek girls bullshit.
Yeah,
that stuff. There's no place for it, really.
Because I have tits, I can't like gaming, or I can't like, you know, sci-fi bullshit.
I'm actually a big fan of geeks with boobs. I mean,
thank you.
Me and Stars have boobs.
Oh, yeah.
You have boobs.
All we know.
Boobs. Yes.
So definitely come and check us out this weekend.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to be at Con Carolinas. We're going to be on different panels, John. You'll be on the author dating game with Matt and Tiffany and I Saturday at 4.
Woo! Wow.
We will have our podcasting.
4 o'clock, I'll be sober for that.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
No, I encourage alcohol, though. But we'll be podcasting. You can see what it's like for us when we podcast live. We'll be broadcasting it later. Sunday morning, 10 a.m., we're upstairs from the bacon. Just follow the smell of the bacon, then walk up the stairs. And then we'll also be on some other panels individually, and we will have the Charlotte Geeks Geek Gala Rim Party Saturday night, so come and find us.
Mm-hmm. I'll be at the Falstaff Books booth all weekend. Come buy my shit.
Yeah.
We're giving away a free ebook with every purchase.
And we are giving away free stuff from The Conjuring 2, and the Warcraft movie that's coming up, including passes to both. So make sure to stop by our booth and check it out. We'll also be selling some cool artwork by Davey Beauchamp. And we'll have Rocket and Star-Lord there, as well as some other photo available stuff. So,
and I'll just be roaming around trying to keep everything ready.
If you see a girl with purple hair looking very stressed out,
buy
her a drink.
Several.
Yeah. So check it all out, concarolinas.org. If you want to hear more about the cool stuff that John's doing, make sure you go to falstaffbooks.com. and buy his shit. Come take our shit away from us. And and Carol, hurry up.
I'm sorry. You need to push a goddamn button. Emails.
Push the button.
There's like, push. There's this conflict. There's this conflict. No.
Are you still getting applications?
Can I?
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Gangery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegangery.com.
Facebook.com/guardians of the gangery. You have the ones I had to pull Hartness off of.
CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.